Tractate 15. John 4. 1-42. Part 2. Now Jesus, seeing that the woman did not understand, and willing her to understand, says to her, Call thy husband. For the reason why thou knowest not what I say is, because thy understanding is not present, I am speaking after the Spirit, and thou art hearing after the flesh. The things which I speak relate neither to the pleasure of the ears, nor to the eyes, nor to the smell, nor to the taste, nor to the touch, by the mind alone are they received, by the understanding alone are they drawn up, that understanding is not with thee, how canst thou apprehend what I am saying? Call thy husband, bring thy understanding forward. What is it for thee to have a soul? It is not much, for a beast has a soul. Wherein art thou better than the beast? In having understanding, which the beast has not. Then what is call thy husband? Thou dost not apprehend me, thou dost not understand me, I am speaking to thee of the gift of God, and thy thought is of the flesh, thou wishest not to thirst in a carnal sense, I am addressing myself to the Spirit, thy understanding is absent. Call thy husband. Be not as the horse and mule, which have no understanding. Therefore, my brethren, to have a soul, and not to have understanding, that is, not to use it, not to live according to it, is a beast's life. For we have somewhat in common with the beasts, that by which we live in the flesh, but it must be ruled by the understanding. For the motions of the soul, which moves after the flesh, and longs to run unrestrainedly loose after carnal delights, are ruled over by the understanding. Which is to be called the husband, that which rules, or that which is ruled? Without doubt, when the life is well ordered, the understanding rules the soul, for itself belongs to the soul. For the understanding is not something other than the soul, but a thing of the soul, as the eye is not something other than the flesh, but a thing of the flesh. But whilst the eye is a thing of the flesh, yet it alone enjoys the light, and the other fleshy members may be steeped in light, but they cannot feel the light, the eye alone is both bathed in it, and enjoys it. Thus in our soul there is a something called the understanding. This something of the soul, which is called understanding and mind, is enlightened by the higher light. Now that higher light, by which the human mind is enlightened, is God, for that was the true light which enlighteneth every man coming into this world. Such a light was Christ, such a light was speaking with the woman, yet she was not present with the understanding, to have it enlightened with that light, not merely to have it shed upon it, but to enjoy it. Therefore the Lord said, Call thy husband, as if he were to say, I wish to enlighten, and yet there is not here whom I may enlighten, bring hither the understanding through which thou mayest be taught, by which thou mayest be ruled. Thus, put the soul without the understanding for the woman, and having the understanding as having the husband. But this husband does not rule the wife well, except when he is ruled by a higher. For the head of the woman is the man, but the head of the man is Christ. The head of the man was talking with the woman, and the man was not present. And so the Lord, as if he said, Bring hither thy head, that he may receive his head, says, Call thy husband, and come hither, that is, be here, be present, for thou art as absent, while thou understandest not the voice of the truth here present, be thou present here, but not alone, be thou here with thy husband. And, the husband being not yet called, still she does not understand, still she minds the flesh, for the man is absent, I have not, saith she, a husband. And the Lord proceeds and utters mysteries. Thou mayest understand that woman really to have had at that time no husband, she was living with some man, not a lawful husband, rather a paramour than a husband. And the Lord said to her, Thou hast well said, I have not a husband. How then didst thou say, Call thy husband. Now hear how the Lord knew well that she had not a husband, he says to her, etc. In case the woman might suppose that the Lord had said, Thou hast well said, I have not a husband, just because he had learned this fact of her, and not because he knew it by his own divinity, hear something which thou hast not said, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, this thou hast said truly. Once more he urges us to investigate the matter somewhat more exactly concerning these five husbands. Many have in fact understood, not indeed absurdly, nor so far improbably, the five husbands of this woman to mean the five books of Moses. For the Samaritans made use of these books, and were under the same law, for it was from it they had circumcision. But since we are hemmed in by what follows, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, it appears to me that we can more easily take the five senses of the body to be the five former husbands of the soul. For when one is born, before he can make use of the mind and reason, he is ruled only by the senses of the flesh. In a little child, the soul seeks for or shuns what is heard, and seen, and smells, and tastes, and is perceived by the touch. It seeks for whatever soothes, and shuns whatever offends, those five senses. At first, the soul lives according to these five senses, as five husbands, because it is ruled by them. But why are they called husbands? Because they are lawful and right, made indeed by God, and are the gifts of God to the soul. The soul is still weak while ruled by these five husbands, and living under these five husbands, but when she comes to years of exercising reason, if she is taken in hand by the noble discipline and teaching of wisdom, these five men are succeeded in their rule by no other than the true and lawful husband, and one better than they, who both rules better and rules for eternity, who cultivates and instructs her for eternity. For the five senses rule us, not for eternity, but for those temporal things that are to be sought or shunned. But when the understanding, imbued by wisdom, begins to rule the soul, it knows now not only how to avoid a pit, and to walk on even ground, a thing which the eyes show to the soul even in its weakness, nor merely to be charmed with musical voices, and to repel harsh sounds, nor to delight in agreeable scents, and to refuse offensive smells, nor to be captivated by sweetness, and displeased with bitterness, nor to be soothed with what is soft, and hurt with what is rough. For all these things are necessary to the soul in its weakness. Then what rule is made use of by that understanding? Not one to discern between black and white, but between just and unjust, between good and evil, between the profitable and the unprofitable, between chastity and impurity, that it may love the one and avoid the other, between charity and hatred, to be in the one, not to be in the other. This husband had not yet succeeded to those five husbands in that woman. And where he does not succeed, error sways. For when the soul has begun to be capable of reason, it is ruled either by the wise mind or by error, but yet error does not rule but destroys. Wherefore, after these five senses was that woman still wandering, and error was tossing her to and fro. And this error was not a lawful husband, but a paramour, for that reason the Lord saith to her, Thou hast well said, I have not a husband. For thou hast had five husbands. The five senses of the flesh ruled thee at first, thou art come to the age of using reason, and yet thou art not come to wisdom, but art fallen into error. Therefore, after those five husbands, this whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And if not a husband, what was he but a paramour? And so, call, not the paramour, but thy husband, that thou mayest receive me with the understanding, and not by error have some false notion of me. For the woman was still in error, as she was thinking of that water, whilst the Lord was now speaking of the Holy Ghost. Why was she erring, but because she had a paramour, not a husband? Put away, Therefore, that paramour who corrupts thee, and go, call thy husband. Call, and come that thou mayest understand me. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I see that thou art a prophet. The husband begins to come, he is not yet fully come. She accounted the Lord a prophet, and a prophet indeed he was, for it was of himself he said, that a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. Again, of him it was said to Moses, A prophet will I raise up to them of their brethren, like unto thee. Like, namely, as to the form of the flesh, but not in the eminence of his majesty. Accordingly we find the Lord Jesus called a prophet. Hence this woman is now not far wrong. I see, she saith, that thou art a prophet. She begins to call the husband, and to shut out the paramour, she begins to ask about a matter that is wont to disquiet her. For there was a contention between the Samaritans and the Jews, because the Jews worshipped God in the temple built by Solomon, but the Samaritans, being situated at a distance from it, did not worship there. For this reason the Jews, because they worshipped God in the temple, boasted themselves to be better than the Samaritans. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans because the latter said to them, How is it you boast and account yourselves to be better than we, just because you have a temple which we have not? Did our fathers, who were pleasing to God, worship in that temple? Was it not in this mountain where we are they worshipped? We then do better, say they, who pray to God in this mountain, where our fathers prayed. Both peoples contended in ignorance, because they had not the husband, they were inflated against each other, on the one side in behalf of the temple, on the other in behalf of the mountain. What, however, does the Lord teach the woman now, as one whose husband has begun to be present? The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me. For the church will come, as it is said in the Song of Songs, will come, and will pass over from the beginning of faith. She will come in order to pass through, and pass through she cannot, except from the beginning of faith. Rightly she now hears, the husband being present, Woman, believe me. For there is that in thee now which can believe, since thy husband is present. Thou hast begun to be present with the understanding when thou calledst me a prophet. Woman, believe me, for if you believe not, you will not understand. Therefore, woman, believe me, for the hour will come when you shall neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what, we worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour will come. When? And now is. Well, what hour? When the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, not in this mountain, not in the temple, but in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. Why does the Father seek such to worship him, not on a mountain, not in the temple, but in spirit and in truth? God is spirit. If God were body, it were right that he should be worshipped on a mountain, for a mountain is corporeal, it were right he should be worshipped in the temple, for a temple is corporeal. God is spirit, and they that worship him, must worship in spirit and in truth. We have heard, and it is manifest, we had gone out of doors, and we are sent inward. Would I could find, thou didst say, some high and lonely mountain. For I think that, because God is on high, he hears me the rather from a high place. Because thou art on a mountain, dost thou imagine thyself near to God? And that he will quickly hear thee, as if calling to him from the nearest place? He dwells on high, but regards the lowly. The Lord is near. To whom? To the high, perhaps. to them who are contrite of heart. 'Tis a wonderful thing, he dwelleth on high, and yet is near to the lowly, he hath regard to lowly things, but lofty things he knoweth from afar, he seeth the proud afar off, and he is the less near to them the higher they appear to themselves to be. Didst thou seek a mountain, then come down, that thou mayest come near him. But wouldest thou ascend? Ascend, but do not seek a mountain. The ascents, it saith, are in his heart, in the valley of weeping. The valley is humility. Therefore do all within. Even if perhaps thou seekest some lofty place, some holy place, make thyself a temple for God within time. For the temple of God is holy, which temple are you? Wouldest thou pray in a temple? Pray in thyself. But be thou first a temple of God, for he in his temple heareth him that prays. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We worship that which we know, you worship you know not what, for salvation is of the Jews. A great thing has he attributed to the Jews, but do not understand him to mean those spurious Jews. Understand that wall to which another is joined, that they may be joined together, resting on the cornerstone, which is Christ. For there is one wall from the Jews, another from the Gentiles, these walls are far apart, only until they are united in the corner. Now the aliens were strangers and foreigners from the covenants of God. According to this, it is said, we worship what we know. It is said, indeed, in the person of the Jews, but not of all Jews, not of reprobate Jews, but of such as were the apostles, as were the prophets, as were all those saints who sold all their goods, and laid the price of their goods at the apostles' feet. For God hath not rejected his people which he foreknew. The woman heard this, and proceeded. She had already called him a prophet, she observes that he with whom she was speaking uttered such things as still more pertain to the prophet, and what answer did she make? See, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messias will come, who is called Christ, when he then is come, he will show us all things. What is this? Just now she saith, the Jews are contending for the temple, and we for this mountain, when he has come, he will despise the mountain, and overthrow the temple, he will teach us all things, that we may know how to worship in spirit and in truth. She knew who could teach her, but she did not yet know him that was now teaching her. But now she was worthy to receive the manifestation of him. Now Messias is anointed, anointed, in Greek, is Christ, in Hebrew, Messias, whence also, in Punic, Messe means anoint. For the Hebrew, Punic and Syriac are cognate and neighboring languages. Then, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messias will come, who is called Christ, when he then is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak with thee am he. She called her husband, he is made the head of the woman, and Christ is made the head of the man. Now is the woman constituted in faith, and ruled, as about to live rightly. After she heard this, I that speak with thee am he, what further could she say, when the Lord Jesus willed to manifest himself to the woman, to whom he had said, Believe me. And immediately came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. That he was seeking her that was lost, he who came to seek that which was lost, they marveled at this. They marveled at a good thing, they were not suspecting an evil thing. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot. Having heard, I that speak with thee am he, and having received Christ the Lord into her heart, what could she do but now leave her water pot, and run to preach the gospel? She cast out lust, and hastened to proclaim the truth. Let them who would preach the gospel learn, let them throw away their water pot at the well. You remember what I said before of the water pot, it was a vessel with which the water was drawn, called hydria, from its Greek name, because water is hydra in Greek, just as if it were called aquarium, from the Latin. She threw away her water pot then, which was no longer of use, but a burden to her, such was her avidity to be satisfied with that water. Throwing her burden away, to make known Christ, she ran to the city, and says to those men, "Come, and see a man that told me all things that ever I did." Step by step, lest those men should get angry and indignant, and should persecute her. "Is this Christ?" Then they went out of the city, and came to him. And in the meanwhile his disciples besought him, saying, "Master, eat." For they had gone to buy meat, and had returned. But he said, "I have meat to eat which you know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" What wonder if that woman did not understand about the water? See, the disciples do not yet understand the meat. But he heard their thoughts, and now as a master instructs them, not in a roundabout way, as he did the woman while he still sought her husband, but openly at once, "My meat," saith he, "is to do the will of him that sent me." Therefore, in the case of that woman, it was even his drink to do the will of him that sent him. That was the reason why he said, "I thirst, give me to drink," namely, to work faith in her, and to drink of her faith, and to transplant her into his own body, for his body is the church. Therefore he saith, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." Say you not, that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. He was aglow for the work, and was arranging to send forth laborers. You count 4 months to the harvest, I show you another harvest, white and ready. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and see that the fields are already white for the harvest. Therefore he is going to send forth the reapers. For in this is the saying true, that one reapeth, another soweth, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. I have sent you to reap that on which you have not labored, others have labored, and you are entered into their labor. What then? He sent reapers, sent he not the sowers? Whither the reapers? Where others labored already? For where labor had already been bestowed, surely there had been sowing, and what had been sown had now become ripe, and required the sickle and the threshing. Whither, then, were the reapers to be sent? Where the prophets had already preached before, for they were the sowers. For had they not been the sowers, whence had this come to the woman, "I know that Messias will come"? That woman was now a ripened fruit, and the harvest fields were white, and sought the sickle. I sent you, then. Whither? To reap what you have not sown, others sowed, and you are entered into their labors. Who labored? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Read their labors, in all their labors there is a prophecy of Christ, and for that reason they were sowers. Moses, and all the other patriarchs, and all the prophets, how much they suffered in that cold season when they sowed. Therefore was the harvest now ready in Judea. Justly was the corn there said to be as it were ripe, when so many thousands of men brought the price of their goods, and, laying them at the apostles' feet, having eased their shoulders of this worldly baggage, began to follow the Lord Christ. Verily the harvest was ripe. What was made of it? Of that harvest a few grains were thrown out, and sowed the whole world, and another harvest is rising which is to be reaped in the end of the world. Of that harvest it is said, "They that sow in tears shall reap with joy." But to that harvest not apostles, but angels, shall be sent forth. The reapers, saith he, are the angels. That harvest, then, is growing among tares, and is awaiting to be purged in the end of the world. But that harvest to which the disciples were sent first, where the prophets labored, was already ripe. But yet, brethren, observe what was said, may rejoice together, both he that soweth and he that reapeth. They had dissimilar labors in time, but the rejoicing they shall enjoy alike equally, they shall receive for their wages together eternal life. And many Samaritans of that city believed on him, because of the saying of the woman, who testified, "He told me all that ever I did." And when the Samaritans came to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he tarried there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word, and said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy words, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." This also must be slightly noticed, for the lesson is come to an end. The woman first announced him, and the Samaritans believed her testimony, and they besought him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed. And when they had believed, they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of thy word, but we are come to know him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world, first by report, then by his presence. So it is today with them that are without, and are not yet Christians. Christ is made known to them by Christian friends, and just upon the report of that woman, that is, the church, they come to Christ, they believe through this report. He stays with them 2 days, that is, gives them 2 precepts of charity, and many more believe, and more firmly believe, on him, because he is in truth the Savior of the world."